No, this is not the flowers left over from last week. It is by God's grace that they're still green on here, and I told Pastor Joseph this morning it is a good thing I don't take care of my kids this way. This was a planter filled with different kinds of succulents when I bought it. It was beautiful, and bonus, it was on sale. And if I would remember to water it, the plant would be healthy and vibrant. After a few days without water, it begins to wilt, and a few weeks without water, or months maybe in this case, its leaves become dry and brown and brittle, and they fall off and begin to decompose and make a mess on the table in my office. Yet the plant is still fighting to survive. There are still beautiful green parts to it, and still some hope for it, maybe if I'll take care of it. In every Christian's life, spiritual vitality or passion wanes over time. This is actually true in many aspects of our lives. And in every part of our lives, we need revival from time to time. In our spiritual lives, we have seasons when we are blooming and bearing fruit, when our vitality is high, but when we neglect our spiritual lives, we begin to wilt. When we have prolonged periods of inattention to the spiritual life, our faith can go dormant. We may go through the motions of Christian life, but the vitality is gone. In order for United Methodists, that's who we are, to live out the mission of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we must also work on living out our own lives as disciples of Jesus Christ. But why? John Wesley's words say it best. I want to know one thing, the way to heaven, how to land safe on that happy shore. God has condescended to teach the way. For this very end, God came from heaven. God has written it down in a book. The book in front of you in your pews that says the Bible. Oh, give me that book. At any price, give me the book of God. I have it. Here is knowledge enough for me. So what is our why? Why is this walk with Jesus important? Let us pray. God, may this message be rooted in your love. May the Holy Spirit open up our innermost being to what you want most, to give love to us and to receive love from us. Amen. The ways in which we use our gifts and graces to serve others is important, but will not effectively happen if we haven't worked on our own Christian living. That mission that we have of making disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, I've told many of you before, I wish it had one more word in it, of making and being disciples. We need to be aware of where we are on our Christian journey to figure out where we might be going next. When Wesley returned to England in the depths of despair, he recalled the faith of the German Moravians and sought out a Moravian missionary named Peter Bowler, who was preparing to go back to where Wesley had come from to leave for Georgia. And I have a picture of that location for you. It's at St. Simon's Island, one of my favorite places on this earth. My first vacation ever with Eli and Ari, and we took them to go learn about the history of John Wesley. Great pastor's kids. And so it was on that land there where there was a community and homes where John Wesley started to bring to us our faith here in the United States. So Wesley had planned to stop preaching until he regained his faith, but Bowler's response changed his mind. Bowler's words are known by nearly every Methodist preacher. Preach faith till you have it, and then because you have it, you will preach faith. Following Bowler's advice, Wesley went about preaching about salvation by faith alone. His words touched some, led some others to ban him from teaching in their churches again, and laid the foundation for his own experience of grace. At times, he wrestled with doing enough to please God, but when his heart was strangely warmed at Aldersgate, he knew the undeserved, unearned love of God for him. As Methodists, we don't have a rules-based faith. This would mean, then, that God is never satisfied if we did that. This type of faith may be based on guilt or fear or doubt about doing enough to please God. So instead, understanding the gospel as the way to heaven allows God's sovereignty to remain supreme, while at the same time inviting us on a journey that responds to grace all the days of our lives. Wesley's Aldersgate experience pointed to one of the essential truths of the gospel, that out of his great love for us, God has taken the initiative to save and deliver us. Our lives are to be lived in grateful response. What does this look like exactly? Let me invite you to visit the house today. And this house is available for anyone to purchase on Zillow.com. Wesley pursued a rigorous life of service to Christ, yet lacked assurance of his salvation and God's grace. But in that moment on Aldersgate Street, he experienced the grace of God that comes to us through Jesus Christ and the peace that Paul described in Romans chapter 5. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. I'm going to invite you now, before we approach this house, to close your eyes and take a few deep breaths. All humans breathe, and the air or oxygen we breathe is what goes through us to assist in our breathing. Like the air that is supplied, God's grace is also present for every person. You may open your eyes. God's grace, love, and desire for relationship with us are present before we even recognize it. These are gifts to be accepted, not earned. This prevenient grace is important as we move along the journey of the way of salvation. Grace undergirds each part in the movement towards Christian perfection or entire sanctification. Grace is the divine constant in every stage of the way of salvation. Grace happens via the Holy Spirit inside of humans and is the work of God, which can later be recognized and acknowledged through faith. Grace is an act of kindness, an expression of selfless love that is completely undeserved and is given without any expectation of repayment. The message of prevenient grace is a message of hope. There is a way out of the human dilemma, out of our problems. God has made this way. And by God's prevenient grace, God enables us to walk in this way if we choose to do so. Now that grace has been introduced, let's move on to the porch. Join me as we talk about repentance. What does it mean to repent? Sadly, some people associate it with negative images. Others identify it with going to the altar. Still others view it primarily in terms of sorrow. However, when the New Testament speaks of repentance, it uses the basic idea of change. When we repent, when we acknowledge our sin and acknowledge that we want to rid ourselves of that sin, we change. We want to replace the sin with good intentions, a good heart, a love for God and others. When we acknowledge God in our lives, we are filled with love, joy, and genuine happiness. We can repent because God is at work in us because of God's grace. This repentance is especially necessary at the beginning of our way of salvation because it is a conviction of our sinfulness, guiltiness, and helplessness. And it comes before our receiving that kingdom of God, which our Lord observes is within us. While this repentance is particularly important, repentance is also something that will occur repeatedly in our Christian living because sin occurs again and again. And John Wesley said, "Sin remains, but it does not reign." Just as grace is the constant work and presence of God, so must repentance be part of humans' work and presence. From this initial repentance, we move on to justification. Justification happens by faith. Justification or pardon is the forgiveness of all of our sins and our acceptance with God. Justification comes into being because humans are sinners. Original sin. Jesus came into this world and was crucified on the cross for our sins. John Wesley makes sure to firmly establish the difference between justification and sanctification. He says, justification is not the being made actually just and righteous. That's sanctification, which is indeed in some degree the immediate fruit of justification, but nevertheless a distinct gift of God and of a totally different nature. Succinctly put, he says, the one implies what God does for us through his Son, the other what he works in us by his Spirit. Overall, in justification, one realizes that their sins are forgiven because of Jesus Christ. Wesley taught that we experience justifying grace when we finally say yes to God, when we learn to trust the Christ who gave his life to redeem, to save, and to deliver us from sin. This form of grace is God's declaration that we are delivered from sin and death. And at the same time, it is God's power working in our hearts to free us from guilt and death and to reconcile, redeem, and make us new. So we can now prepare to enter the house through the front door. Before we enter the house, we need to understand the importance of walking through the door. The door represents our faith and new birth. John Wesley says new birth is signified by faith, hope, and love. New birth is absolutely necessary for eternal salvation. One must enter the house through the door. John Wesley makes a major point, though, that baptism is not the new birth. Baptism is a sacrament. It's a mean of grace. Baptism and new birth may not occur at the same time. New birth is not the same as sanctification. It is a part of sanctification, not the whole. It is the gate of it, the entrance to it, or the door. Sanctification is different from justification and new birth. Let's walk inside of the house to learn more about sanctification. Sanctification is a progressive work carried on in the soul by slow degrees from the time of our first turning to God. This progression moves towards entire sanctification or Christian perfection. We can resist sanctifying grace or cooperate with it. The ultimate goal is that we are completely sanctified or made holy. Paul described the goal of sanctification this way in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are what he has made us, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand to be our way of life. In the movement towards the end goal of sanctification, we move farther away from sin reigning over us and into a more holy way of living. In justification, we have been saved from our sin, removed of our guilt. And by sanctification, we've been saved from the power and root of sin and restored to the image of God. Wesley brings repentance and good works of mercy and piety together and writes that they are in some sense necessary to sanctification, though what he ultimately believes is that people are sanctified by faith. This is the process of ways of holy living and a time when people can live out and experience the means of grace. It is the pathway that takes someone closer to Christian perfection or sanctification. Wesley's life and theology pulsate with the word daily, every day. For over 60 years, he faithfully engaged in devotional living, and we are called to do the same. He challenges us to break out of any compartmentalized concept of Christianity. Jesus is Lord. Every moment is to be lived in his presence. While we won't exactly match Wesley's methods, we should strive to imitate his discipline. Christian perfection is not likely something we will experience here on earth, though one of my favorite parts is that we get to experience glimpses of that Christian perfection while we live here on earth. But overall, it's more something that's hoped for in our life after death and in the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is what we work towards during sanctification through faith and after faith, through works of piety and mercy and repentance. We have faith in what is to come from God, and that God will and can do this now. Our hope is that we can work together for each of us to find ways to be accountable to our holy Christian living as we move on towards Christian perfection. God doesn't intend for us to work as servants with salvation as our wage. God intends that we live in relationship with God as God's children, who has already said to everyone, "I accept you. You are accepted." Have we accepted God's acceptance of us? We need to be both and Christians, not just those who go out and do good works, and not just those who have faith. Both are vital. We must have a personal faith actively pursued through prayer, worship, reading scripture, taking communion, meeting in small groups, practicing other Christian disciplines. And we must respond to the invitation for God to work through us in serving our neighbors, our communities, and the world. These two dimensions taken together constitute the holistic gospel that Jesus taught and preached. And they constitute the holistic gospel that Wesley insisted was the scripture way of salvation. The importance of God's grace and work throughout the way of salvation, and the work that we must do through repentance, justification, new birth, faith, and sanctification are brought together, both. And by faith, by grace. Amen.
Amen.